This morning I listened to the radio. Ajahn was explaining about greeting in Thai, you say why. And mostly we do without sati, or sometimes there can be kusala citta with respect and sati, but not with panya, and then you take it for self that I am doing it. So I was saying that it's really, we cannot force to have panya. It's not possible. But we hear about it, and then we may be reminded about it. That's all.
And it will be more and more difficult. You go on the more and more difficult way. It's not easy at all.
No. That's what I also heard. When there is more sati, well, not often, but then you notice more all the defilements, the different defilements, like conceit. The citta is harsh, as Ajahn explained. It's not soft and gentle. So there is a way when we hear about it and we consider it, and then it's noticed how often it, or that it arises so often. And Ajahn read from the sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya many quotations about the danger of kilesa, of defilements. That you are drunk with defilements. Mao, you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good expression.
Yes.
Intoxicated, really. Like the intoxications.
I'm sorry, but I missed what you were saying about becoming more difficult.
Could more and more difficult. Reality. More difficult to
realize.
Know, to realize. To understand. It's not self.
Then we learn more, I think. It gets more difficult. I can't understand that it gets more complicated when you learn more. The more you learn, you may become discouraged even.
I think that it's not more complicated without right understanding. But right understanding can see how complicated it is to understand each reality better and better.
So then, the more understanding and the more the complexity of realities is known,
and the more right understanding to understand. It's like that.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds like it's very easy to see that hardness is different from seeing and visual object, but it's not as easy as that. Because there is always the clinging to the idea, unknown all the time, that it's there until it's gradually eliminated and reality can be just one at a time. Doesn't belong to anyone, just arise and falls away. Because even we see that now seeing is hearing, but it's still me or I. And if there is no understanding of I lying down there very deeply, no way to eradicate it.
In the van, I was talking a bit more with Jonathan about the idea of self. It's there, and Jonathan repeated to me, it's there, it's there. So I was wondering, is it a latent tendency? No, it's not latent tendency. But it is rather unknown, not known, Trisha.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it arises.
Yeah, because
it arise.
Ignorance is there. Even the idea of self cannot be known. It's hindered by ignorance and attachment unknowingly. And the development of right understanding will develop panya to learn it little by little, that it's there. Otherwise, where is the mithyatiti or the idea of self? It sounds or seems like there's none at all at that moment, but it's there.
I think, in fact, Nina, we were talking about attachment to becoming, bhava tanha. And I think it's, is it similar?
Exactly
then?
The same. Yeah.
How the same?
Because it's hindered by ignorance. It's covered up by ignorance, not understanding it enough to see.
Bhava-tanha, it's not so much in our thoughts.
Can we say that it's simple, just clinging to the self or the being? We don't have to find out which one, but now everyone clings to being.
Becoming. To live.
Yeah.
To live. Yes.
We want to keep living. We want to keep experiencing things through the eye door, ear door, taste door, etc.
Including seeing and hearing. We want to see. But not only we want to see, we think I see.
Because it's not easy to know or to understand that there is clinging to seeing right now. See? But it sees who, and the answer is me.
But with or without the idea of self, there is still, we want to go on experiencing pleasant experiences.
Or anything. That's why it's more and more difficult when there's more and more understanding. Otherwise, the latent tendency cannot be uprooted or eradicated completely. No more at all.
Oh, I would think that when there is more understanding, it is less troublesome. You have less problems.
Right, but panya still keep on going deeper and deeper. Not just that, not just there.
No, it sees how deep it is.
And deeper than we can imagine.
That is a difficult thing to understand,
right.
What you say now.
Because you see that it has to be the very sharp and developed panya.
Yeah.
Otherwise it cannot understand reality as not self at all.
Is it that it becomes more difficult or panya realizes how difficult it is?
Yeah, panya realizes. So it's difficult because there is always lopa. Falling all the way. Panya has to see lopa in order to be detached from taking lopa for me. And one can see that panya is more refined and sharper to know that, see?
One can see how much more subtle it is. The more understanding, the more realization is that it's much subtle and much deeper than.
And it's so real and true, panya, which can know that.
Yeah. And more self-view to be known.
And eliminated. But when it's right understanding, the virya encourages one to keep on going on the way, because the other things cannot be compared to this at all.
And talking about these realities that are arising all the time, but we're not sort of conscious of them, is it the same for things like hearing also?
All realities. For example, it seems like hardness for easy. It's easier to know rather than understanding visible object as no one. Like the question with it, do you know me? You know, but you don't know visible object.
Right.
So what about hardness exactly the same? Do you know table? Glasses, chair, yes, but you don't know visible object or hardness itself as not visible object.
Because some time ago, someone asked you a question here whether there's hearing without, is there hearing all the time sort of thing?
Never. Can there be all the time?
Continuously.
In between scenes?
In between.
And
yes.
The other processes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Nothing
what was
all
the question?
The time. Is it, I think it was, is there hearing but we don't know there's hearing?
Don't Isn't understand hearing?
Don't understand, but not, hearing but not hearing. Not realizing this hearing.
As natural as thou.
For example, smell. I think he would say, while we're talking and discussing here, we hear voices, we see, we acknowledge the presence, but there's actually hearing of the air condition all happening often, but just that we're not
in between.
Yes. We're not aware.
You just mentioned about the hearing and the air condition, and when you mentioned about air conditioned, at that moment I realized that I was hearing the sound from the air conditioned. But at the same time, I noticed that actually the sound was still heard before, but maybe not special thinking about that sound. So it's still experienced, but maybe not, no long story about that.
Like now.
When we think that it's quiet, is there still sound of which we're unaware and ignorant? Is there any such thing as quiet? I realize there are moments of sound between
hearing
would be the one that we'd be aware of. Or maybe not aware of, but hearing is.
Is there still sound being experienced?
Yes. Is there still sound being experienced?
Are you talking about now?
Now there's lots of... I'm
exactly, yeah, the same. Yeah.
Exactly the same. Yeah. So even if I say, oh, it's all quiet in here, there is still sound being experienced.
Exactly the same like now. It's only your thought.
Yes.
Because whether it's what we conventionally call a very quiet place or a very noisy place, it's still just sound that's heard regardless.
Or no sound. What about that?
Well, that's what's going to be my next question.
Yeah. It depends.
Different moments. Mm.
Similar to the seeing in the dark question.
Exactly the same.
Can we say that each reality is missing all the time? No awareness. Don't know what happens. But it's there. Because it arises and falls away in split seconds before you can notice it.
Yes. Can't say that there are moments with realities missing.
That it's thinking.
That's right.
A moment ago you said something about Wiria.
Not you.
Not me.
Yeah, Wiria itself.
But Wiria, I've written Wiria increases when panya begins to develop.
It does matter because there are conditions for its arising and we know which citta doesn't have viriya with it. That's all.
What she said was that when it's the right way, viriya encourages to continue on the right way.
Because without it, we would be discouraged that there's so many realities to be known, there's so much ignorance, and we know so little. So viriya is needed to have courage, to be brave.
Is there viriya now?
Well, there is some.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, but it arises with each citta, also akusala, well, almost Ichita, mm-hmm. of course, not with seeing and hearing. But there are many Ahetuka Chittas, and they are without Vinaya. And mind or Advaita consciousness needs Vinaya, for example.
But usually there's no understanding of Virya because it's always I who's trying. See, is there any understanding of any reality right now? Even it's there, different moment at a time appearing. No understanding. So we can see the value of Panya, so precious that it can understand whatever appears as it is, not self. It's on the process of development of understanding until it's so very well established that whenever there is a reality appears, right understanding can understand it right then. So from not understanding, it begins to be gradually understanding, little by little.
I have a question from the monk, the same again. And his question is about the ten kusala deeds. So is it the straightening of one's view? So he would like to know the meaning, what is the meaning of straightening one's view? You know, the ten.
Wrong view?
The ten kusala
karma. Yes.
Straightening one's views. It goes with all of them. It can go with all of them. It can go with all of these good deeds. That, for example, you know that kusala is different from akusala, and to see the value of kusala. Maybe before hearing about them, you did not know anything about them. Before knowing about Buddhism, even we didn't know much about what is kusala or what is valuable, like dana. We didn't know about anumodana dana. To appreciate other people's good deeds is also anumodana dana, a kind of dana. All these ways of kusala is helping us to know that these ways is helping us to apply them. But the main thing is, of course, panya, which so that there is no self, but that is higher. That's more difficult. We tend to take them for self when we are doing it.
Are we now not threatening one's will?
Little by little.
Yeah, and it's one way of kusala.
Because he heard a different explanations about that, so he'd like to hear your explanation. So he said that according to his understanding, based on what he listened from you, he understood it to be the moments of having right understanding of different levels. But because he heard other explanations saying that is it like knowing all the other nine good deeds, then it did the ten one. So he would like to hear your view about it.
I think that when we have wrong understanding or not understanding anything, we have our own view about whatever we come across, like the ten kusala karma and so on. But when there is the right understanding, then we can read anything with understanding too. For example, straightening one's view, it means that before that, it's not right view, right? So at moment when there is the understanding of whatever pariyati or whatever appears or listen, then one knows that it's right or wrong. We don't have to follow the words or the text or the meaning without understanding. Just think over it. But when there is understanding, we can understand what it's meant. Like, do we have right understanding right now enough, or are we now straightening the views before we can understand better and better.
It is important to know what kind of citta is motivating, because you may give and think, oh, I give things away, it's okay, but what is the citta like? It can be so many different moments with selfish motives, or you want something in return, or you think of the benefit of someone else. And the best one is that you, that is realized, is no self, only a citta who is motivating a good deed. That is straightening view. So I think there are many levels of straightening one's view.
Like straightening one's view about pariyatti. Otherwise, people take that studying Pali is pariyatti, or the story of reality is pariyatti, but actually it's not. It has to be this that we understand about reality. That is straightening one's view too.
You must be with understanding, so it must be pariyatti at least, because otherwise it can't.
Any moment when there's right understanding about reality at whatever level. Yeah.
So we could say it's any right understanding of reality, pariyatti or patipatti, it's straightening.
Or of anything like wholesome reality, gratitude and so on. Mm. Is that good or wholesome or not, that is straightening one's view too.
So it can be samatha, just
anything,
understanding what is metta.
To understand correctly, no matter what level of understanding.
So it doesn't have to be of the level of, it does or doesn't have to be at the level of pariyatti.
Is that not pariyatti? When there's right understanding of reality? Because when we talk about any word, it represents a reality.
Yes, but
like lopa, is it good?
No.
See, you just said it's not. Before that, do you know what lopa is? Even just very slight attachment.
Before I said no.
When one doesn't know.
When one hasn't
before
heard
studying
the Dhamma.
At
yes.
all, before
exactly.
threatening the view.
Yes.
Can one say that lopa is?
No, not see? Before straightening the view. Uh-huh. I guess I'm going to, we've had a lot of discussion on DSG lately, and I understand you had some discussion on Wednesday as well about pariyatti, intellectual, you know, what is, they're studying for the sake of, you know, some people study and read for the sake of accumulating knowledge for themselves without any understanding that it relates to now. That would not be pariyatti. But for pariyatti understanding, there must be a level of banya that understands it is now.
Understand
is
what is pariyatti.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, what is pariyatti?
Understanding reality as it is from hearing and considering, because it's not the direct understanding
right.
of a reality yet.
Okay, so from hearing and considering.
About
it.
Yeah.
Right, right. I understand that distinction.
Understanding about reality in order to condition direct understanding
yes.
of that reality. So if it's just collection of knowledge or just learning Pali terms, it's not the condition for direct understanding.
Right.
So that's why it has to be understanding of the realities which will lead to the direct understanding
okay.
of realities.
Yeah, that's
so
kind
that's
of what
hear
I thought.
About seeing or visible objects.
Right.
Now. That's pariyatti, which will lead to the
yes.
direct understanding.
Yes.
Seeing or visible objects.
Right. So it's the book knowledge, which just gets for a collection of information, for knowledge, for oneself, or to you know collect it. As opposed to, yeah, the kinds of understanding that will condition direct understanding. Okay, I think I see. I know there's been a lot of discussion as to what is what, and I think it's very difficult to define any more narrowly than you just defined it.
Yeah. And now it's straightening fields.
Yes. Necessary. Without it, it cannot lead to the direct understanding. Right.
Without it, it's very easy to be misled and
to think that if one just reads this text or one just listens to a jhana, that's automatically pariyatti. But actually, it has to relate to understanding at this moment, no matter the activity.
The question about straightening one's view, the person who was a monk who asked it?
It's a bhikkhu.
So it's good if he relates it to the present moment always. Also straightening one's view, he has to relate it to the present moment. It's not abstract at all at this moment, all the time.
Is there any difference between straightening one's view and bhavana then?
Yeah, bhavana includes samatha, vipassana, explaining the Dhamma to others and listening and considering. So all these are means to straighten one's view. It's not excluded. Samatha is a different method though, different aim.
Might want to ask, is it any different from vipassana bhavana? Or
yes, because in the 10 kusala deeds, they mention bhavana before, and then after that we have like respect, and then many different other deeds, and then finally straightening one's view. So I just wonder whether, because we can understand it to be bhavana as well, because we have heard also bhavana is mental development. So any
that's
moment
of these ways of kusala,
yeah.
But then one has to be careful, like Ajahn always says, not to stick too much to terms and names. We try to classify it, and that doesn't help.
Mm-hmm. Or like now, we can say that. It's not vipassana now, it's not direct understanding of seeing now, it's not satipatthana at this moment, but there is wise considering, so it is straightening the views. So it may not be bhavana now, but there is, if there is understanding, it's still straightening views. So it includes bhavana, but it's
so bhavana,
broader.
So bhavana means samatha and vipassana.
Development.
So it refers to a higher level of understanding.
So if it's,
for example, vipassana bhavana, it's patipatti, it's direct understanding of reality, not just wise reflection.
Can we say that there should be, or there is always straightening one's view in order to have more and more understanding?
But from what Tam has said about the 10 items, one is bhavana and one is straightening of views, then there would be some overlap, because straightening of views can only be straightened by the arising of panya. And
panya straightening views?
Yes, panya does the straightening, not one does the straightening, obviously panya does the straightening. And then bhavana is a reference to panya also.
Otherwise, why there is the development of panya?
Mm.
I think that we should understand each word correctly and deeply too, so that we don't think that we have to use this word all the time, like we can use the word straightening only in this situation, not the other situation, but it's not like that. It means there must be wrong understanding. And then what can condition this straightening, the view which is wrong, into right with view? See? From hearing and considering about kusala, akusala, dana, sila, and everything, including the development of right understanding, which is higher than ordinary daily activities. For example, now, if we just talk about the whatever in daily life, what's right and what's wrong, what is wholesome and what is not wholesome, it's not the beginning of the development of either samatha or vipassana. It has to go on and on, more understanding.
Hi, John. Very good to be back here with everybody and listening to Dharma. Before, when you asked about do we know visible object? Do we know hardness? It strikes me that there's no answer to that question, because if we say no, it's because there's no, there's no understanding in the sense that you're talking about understanding of realities. But the answer no is still a confused answer, because to say no almost implies some understanding of what reality is. And yet at the same time, if Panya understands visible object and hardness, Panya would not say yes.
Why not? Panya cannot say yes.
Well, because
when it understands, it understands.
It understands without needing to say yes. I think that's perhaps what I'm. Panya does not need to say yes. There is understanding. Maybe it's only the lack of understanding.
But Panya cannot say no.
maybe that's what struck me, is that there's, at the level of understanding, there's not really an answer to that question. There's just understanding.
Sounds very Zen.
When you ask, is there understanding of hardness now or seeing now, I take that question to mean, is there direct understanding now?
So no is the appropriate answer.
That's right. But is there the, you know, if the question means...
If the question is hardness known now, that means is there direct understanding of hardness. But if the question is there hardness now, it means now we're considering realities, so now hardness is experienced.
Yes.
Because even if it's only known by reflection, it's just the concept of hardness. But there is that, so it's a reminder for Pariyatti to begin to be familiar that it is hardness that is experienced, not a table at this moment. Mm. So the answer is yes, because it's a reminder that it is hardness that appears, not a table now. And that is Pariyatti, the beginning of right understanding of reality. It is the straightening of views, beginning to turn away from the idea that it's a table experience and it is just hardness at this moment.
But it would have to be, couldn't be hardness of table unless you're actually
touching. So it'd have to be actually wherever hardness is appearing through the body sense, mm-hmm. even if there's only thinking about it in a conceptual way, we can say that there is hardness now because, you know, we can, in conventional terms, we can feel the chair.
But at what moment?
Yeah. Not. It's all thinking. It's all conceptual. But
and
it's
it
thinking
can be
about
at moment when it appears too. And it can be a moment when there is understanding too, depending on conditions.
Yes.
So now when you ask that question, we'll have to explain ourselves very carefully.
Sure, it's not punya at that moment.
Because right understanding is very, very precise. Yeah.
To some extent, I suppose it comes back to the issue around having the right answer, or like the textbook answer to questions. And we talk a lot about how that can lead to the conditioning of right understanding, but it's at what point that happens that it seems that that continues to need exploring, and it seems like it's not just a question of accumulating more and more of the right answers. And I don't know what else there is. So perhaps the question is around that.
If you don't mind much about the answer, just now turn from living in the world of nimitta, a dream, into the world of truth, like now. Instead of thinking of the words in the book, what about any or one reality which appears to understand it? Like when we are talking about seeing, we don't think in the book what page it is, but now they're seeing, so we can understand how much ignorance is there, because there's not such understanding what we have heard about seeing that which sees, or seeing is a reality, seeing is conditioned, seeing arises, it sees and it falls away. That's in the thought after hearing a lot about it, but it cannot condition moment of understanding seeing right now as not self yet. But without these threatening views at any level, it can condition when time comes to begin, just begin to think about it when they're seeing, just there when seeing is there, little by little, until it's so familiar with seeing as, and also other realities as different realities. So there will be no self in any reality at all.
For example, if the question is there hardness now, or is there visible objects seen now, I don't think it's a matter of what is the right answer or what it says in the textbook, but isn't it true that now actually only that which is visible is seen, and isn't it true now that only hardness or temperature is experienced through the body sense? So it's just checking, isn't that correct? So it's not a matter of what the book says or what the language is, it's just a reminder that now what else is seen if not visible object? What else is touched if not hardness?
So going back to what the Buddha directs us to go to our own experience. Don't just accept the teachings, but to go to our own experience. That's an example of what you're
saying. It's all about, and I think Manajan says, is the hardness now, it's just a reminder to not just remember what one has read or heard, but okay, test out now. What else is experienced? What else could be seen? So it is. It's back to what can be directly experienced now. Just that world only.
Test out now. That's
understand.
Yeah, that's understand now, that's because the test out now gave the connotation, and I know you didn't mean it to, but there, you know, there's something to be done.
When this understanding now, it's proved at that moment. It's nothing else. This is like now is always the test of for understanding at this moment. So it's like a test at each moment for understanding whether anything, any reality is known, or whether it's just the dream world as usual.
Can we know more about hardness when we talk about hardness? When hardness appear, depending on understanding. For example, if we ask a girl or a boy whether is there hardness at that moment, and that person say, yes, there is. Very ordinary answer, but what about the understanding? Not only that, can we know more about it as the Buddha taught about it, as what and what? Until no self, no I, not just the idea about it, but it's the moment of understanding. It's very important, like, what is the object of ignorance right now? We can say, seeing, because ignorance cannot understand seeing as seeing, hearing, thinking, hardness too. So it's the beginning of, you may say, examine or beginning to develop the understanding from hearing that it's just a reality. So the word reality means a lot, because it means no one there at all except each characteristic of a reality which can appear right then, no more than that, just there.
Own experience for convenience, but in fact, when there's any understanding, no own experience or anyone's experience.
Mentioned about reality, so I have also a question about the rupas, which are asabhava. How are they different from the concept?
Like the arising and falling away of what rupa? Asabhava. It doesn't have its own special characteristic, but it's the arising of that which appears. The moment of the arising is not moment of falling away. For rupa, many moments.
So can you explain again about realities and concept? Because
okay. Is there no reality now?
There are realities now.
Can reality be concept?
They cannot.
But now, concept is known, reality is not known.
Mm. Because my question comes from that concepts are only known in the thinking process. And when we read about the asabhava rupas, they are not directly known by the sense door. They're only known by, it seems to me that by thinking also. So I would like to understand the difference between concept and the asabhava rupa.
Concept is concept, not rupa.
So you have gross rupas, such as visible object and hardness, mm-hmm. which are gross and apparent, but usually still unknown, appearing mm-hmm. through the sense doors. Mm-hmm. And then there are subtle rupas that are only ever experienced through the mind door, mm-hmm. including some sabhava rupas with characteristics, like we mentioned, masculinity, femininity the other day. So they're not asabhava, they're sabhava. They have characteristic, but even they are not known, but they're known by the Buddha and the great Arahat. So it's not that they cannot be known, but they're not known by beginning understanding.
They don't appear to us.
They don't appear because they're not experienced by us, by our very limited understanding. And then there are the asabhava rupas, which are those kinds of subtle rupas which are dependent on other rupas, such as space element. We can't say it's a concept, it's a rupa, it's a reality. It's the reality that divides kalapas of rupas. But without those other kalapas of rupas, there cannot be space. So it depends on its arising on those other kalapas of rupas. So it's a asabhava rupa, but known by the Buddha, so we can't say it's a reality. And then ones like intimation, kaya vinyati or vachi vinyati, they depend on other dhammas, so they don't have a characteristic which is apparent. But it's not, when we think about it, it's a concept, but actually they are a reality. They are realities, they are rupas that can be known by the very wise. And then asabhava rupas, like the different kinds of the arising of rupa. So it's still an aspect of reality, not concept.
I remember last year we also have a discussion about the space element. Mm-hmm. it's very difficult point.
Just because it's not understood doesn't mean it's only concept. Like now, mm-hmm. it's only thinking about a concept. But mm-hmm. if it wasn't a reality, the Buddha wouldn't have taught about it as one of the 28 rupas.
Can we say that the asabhava rupas are understood by way of understanding sabhava rupas?
Right. If there's no understanding of sabhava rupas, there can't possibly be any understanding of asabhava rupas.
And concepts cannot be understood in that way, anyway.
Sabhava rupas, like space, arise and fall away. Concepts don't rise and fall away. They're only ever thought about.
Sarah, with regard to masculinity and femininity, you said something about for though, you know, they can be understood by Buddhas and some of the arahats, but by beginners, they aren't experienced. Is it that they're not experienced, or that there is, you know, no banya, there's insufficient banya to be aware of them, to understand them, but they are nonetheless experienced?
No.
If there's no understanding, you can say if they're not.
It's not like visible object, which is experienced by everyone mm-hmm. by seeing consciousness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So whether there's any understanding or not, it's experienced, right? And some.
Right, but would that not be the same with masculinity and femininity?
Well, which doorway would it appear through?
Well, I don't know. But that's the point. That
but I'm going to make the assumption that those rupas arise and fall away in beings of masculine and feminine variety.
Right. But just because they just because they arise and fall away doesn't mean that variety, they experience.
And yet there are
I-based that arises and falls away too.
Yes. But it's not experienced.
Awesome.
Okay.
Every single moment, pasa chetasika arises and falls away. Is it experience?
Can it be known? I don't know the answer to that. By whom? One of highly developed panya. I'll leave that for now.
Ajahn is often repeating, know it as just the reality, know it as just the Dhamma, and we can repeat it and say it also. And I have the feeling that Panya is so weak and that it is not understood, but maybe the answer is when Panya is more developed, only then we can understand. Or the meaning is as not self is really the meaning, but I feel it's just repeating words and not knowing much about it.
Yeah, but what's the purpose of talking about it?
Considering more.
To understand that even it's there, no one knows, because only Panya can, and it's not ordinary Panya, it has to be the higher Panya. But we can think about it like whether it's a reality. Masculinity, femininity, are they real? The first question. And where is it? It's real, but where is it? Where is the femininity, Rupa? Where is it? Pardon?
So according to the text, the theory, we know that it arises with all other rupas, like the eight inseparable rupas and others, so everywhere.
Only the kalapa, which is conditioned by kamma. So one can see, little by little, to begin to know, there is such rupa, but it cannot be seen like visible object. It cannot be touched, but it can be studied and understand that there is a rupa which conditions the appearance of femininity or masculinity.
But even for seeing and visible object, you say it's just a Dhamma, just a reality, but we don't get it really.
One day.
But that's thinking. That's not thinking. Not enough.
By conditions.
By conditions. Yeah.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
Just
mean?
Develop understanding. No expectation. No waiting. No expecting.
Just develop understanding. That's what you often say. Yeah.
Right.
So unexpected.
Unexpected moment of developed panya. And that is anatta. Otherwise, it's not anatta, because you can expect. Yeah. But when you cannot, it shows the anattaness.
But then you say,
and it's the only way to eliminate desire and attachment to the result of studying and developing understanding.
But then you say, just
and then you can see your own developed panya, to what degree, whether it can detach from clinging and waiting or not yet. it's become very, very difficult to letting go, seeing. Because it's not me.
Can you explain that more?
If there is not enough panya, no one can letting go, seeing as just seeing at all.
Always me and my experience, mm-hmm. and my body. So, back to
your question, so like now, just visible objects seen, but because of sanya and thinking, one knows female or male because of different characteristics, but that's mm-hmm. just by thinking about it. Yes, but the actual sex element that arises in the karma-produced kalapas, the very subtle rupa, which is only ever experienced through the mind, or I think your question is, okay, well, it's not known, there's no direct understanding, but how can we say it's not experienced even though it's unknown? But I think it's like Pasa, the reason nothing is known is because it's not experienced, it's not apparent. So only when understanding is developed does it begin to be experienced.
Yeah. Thank you.
And actually the rupas that are experienced in daily life are relatively few. Mm. Visible object, mm-hmm. sound, smell, taste, and the kinds of touch.
Yes.
So the whole world that we live in is really only those mm-hmm. seven rupas.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the emphasis is on
visible object and not masculinity or right, femininity.
Right. Anything more on the
Kiriya Watu, the 10 meritorious deeds?
Reflecting on vinyati, because you mentioned about kaya vinyati and vashi vinyati. So the kaya vinyati conditioned gesture and movement, can we say that? Or
I would say it's the
citta which conditions the kaya vinyati, which is the gesture or the making the meaning apparent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the citta which conditions the rupa.
Like now when there's movement like this, how can you describe in terms of paramattha dhammas what happened, like when...
Not just like this. I mean,
you have to convey a meaning. So you point the way to someone that way... That's the movement. Or speaking, speaking is speech to convey a meaning. That's more apparent maybe. And movement. Some people think any movement is kaya vinyati, but it's not so. When you read the commentary, you may doubt and may not be so clear. Because some people explain it that way, that any kind of movement by citta is kaya vinyati. But no, only when there is the conveying of a meaning to show something.
So expressions and...
Yes, to express a meaning.
Okay. So what conditioned the movements then?
Just citta conditions to take this. Or this may be very often with loba also. Loba mula citta. Mm-hmm. I want this or I want the water.
And it's like a bit like the masculinity, femininity, in that we think that we see masculinity or femininity, but actually all that's seen is visible object. And when you do this, mm-hmm. we think we see you making a gesture, but actually it's only visible object that's seen. So that kaya vinyati is not directly mm-hmm. experienced or known at all.
But
because of thinking and sanya, yeah. we know that someone is conveying a meaning just by thinking about it, but not by directly knowing the rupa.
Okay, so now I'll put aside the vinyati, kaya vinyati, and I would like to know how do you describe in terms of paramattha dhamma the movements? What condition the movements then?
Just ordinary bodily movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chitta. You thought about the peaceable people. For example, they want a movement, but it's not happening.
But you said it doesn't happen, so obviously then it's not movement. But you're asking what conditions movement, and the answer is chitta.
I guess maybe another condition as well, not only chitta, because for example, the disabled people,
mm-hmm.
the chitta arrive. For example, one a movement, but it doesn't happen, so there must be another condition
for,
as well.
Same for able-bodied people too. They can want to do something, but it not happen.
So there must be other.
So when you're ill,
well.
For example. For example, if I want to pick up this and drink it, you could say, in a sense, that kamma has to play a role, because if this is hot or cold, and you would have to have the past kamma for that particular experience. But the answer to the question of what conditions the movement is citta.
When it's conveying, when we talk about
movement, we're actually just talking about a situation. But if we're talking about rupas, like when there is motion, we know there are four possible conditions: citta, kamma, nutriment, and temperature. But when it's the motion that is particularly involved in conveying a meaning, the kaya vinyati or the vachi vinyati, that particular rupa is conditioned by citta.
Is it just conveying a meaning, or is it something that is produced by intention?
Well, there is intention to convey
yeah,
a meaning.
Yeah, okay.
Without
so
citta.
Just
that's
so
why it has to be citta with intention.
So it's involuntary movements primarily, what we'd call involuntary movements that are not conditioned by citta.
Why not?
Well,
there's intention with every citta.
Well, what are the? You said only the movements not conditioned by. What did you say?
Right.
Yes. Yes,
the
if there's no condition. Well, what about movements where there's no intention to convey a meaning?
Or nutriment, right. So
right.
If it's very hot and the rupas are affected by the heat and.
Perspiration.
That's right.
Okay.
Then that's conditioned by temperature.
Okay, I see that. I see the difference.
Thank you.
Vinyati. Very, very subtle. Yeah, because when we talk about the action of deeds, which is ill deeds, the tutri, killing and so forth, it is kaya vinyati, see. So there are many moments that there can be movement without intention clear. Like when you just lie down and turn aside or something like that, or doing something like this. No quite intention to let the other know, or your own intention to do that, but it can be done by habits and so on, and that moment is not kaya vinyati. But when you try to do something, or you have intention to do something, like killing, it's different. So the ordinary movement, which cannot be directly known as you have intention to do it, but it can move because of the citta, which is kusala or akusala. The seeing cannot condition any movement of the body at all. Hearing cannot. So we have to know how many cittas can condition movement of the body and speech. So we can no more from the very easy to know, like intention to let the other know, and then more details about that, that what moment is conditioned with kaya vinyati. But it's not, it cannot be known easily, because you see that how can one know intention to do, see? Like now, see? Kaya vinyati?
Yes.
Depending, yeah.
And now that you mention it, I remember a previous discussion we had about this, and I think it was Robert was asking about swimming when you're trying to do everything in a technically correct way. And you said that's
kaya vinyati.
Yeah. Kaya vinyati.
Even though no one mm-hmm. around to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is the
uh-huh.
special. I don't understand that very well about swimming.
Because if you're just swimming without thinking, paying any attention to your movements, and you're thinking of other things, there are these different movements, but no kaya vinyati. But if that one is specially attending to where one's placing the hand and how one's kicking, then it is conveying a meaning at that point. So it is kaya vinyati.
Oh, I don't really understand that very well. Mm-hmm.
Is it because of the intention to do in a particular way? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, even only you yourself know it is.
Yes.
The purposeful
placing,
like with this. He's not trying to show it to anyone else, but there's a purposeful adjusting of the dials, so it is a conveying of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It is kaya vinyati.
And the earplugs, the earphones coming down, that could be just...
That's why we cannot understand it. We can just think about it.
Mm-hmm. But if it were these earphones, if these things
but
are
But as much as we can know, it's like... Sarah just said, when we have intention to do in such manners. Or,
I always thought that this conveying a meaning to someone else.
It has to be your own self first.
But even to oneself.
Because you have such purpose or intention to
do.
You
have the purpose to swim
to make
in the
it
right
that way.
Way,
yeah.
I never thought of that.
So would another...
Another kaya vinyati. This is kaya vinyati. For sure.
So would an example be, for example, of nursing somebody, like a person who is trained to take care of other people, there are many gestures... that the actions that they do, and they're thinking about which are the right ones to do. So that is an area.
I think that first of all, it's not the matter to try to know, but whether it's not self, because it's that which can experience or that which cannot experience. That's all. This is the beginning. Otherwise, it will take one away from understanding whatever appears. And one can see that even visible object is not appearing. It's not familiar to right understanding as not self at all. So what about that which does not appear, like vinyati?
Just to know there must be a reality, not a concept. Otherwise, if there was no reality, nothing could be indicated or no gestures could be made. So there must be reality, even if it's unknown. So that's the difference between asabhava, rupa, and concept.
And also, I'm just thinking, maybe because we are just thinking all the time about the concept of a hand or a lake or something, so we have difficulty to understand how citta condition the movements, but it actually it's just rupa,
and produced by citta or by karma and kaya vinyati. It depends on the context. For example, when doing like this, without the intention, like you say, in that case, would not be with kaya vinyati.
Only you can know.
Yeah. But then, because we still have the idea that it's my hand and it's moving, but
I don't know about kaya vinyati. Like Kun just turned his head, see? Can we know whether there's kaya vinyati or not? But the other can see. But who can tell whether at that moment it is kaya vinyati?
I think what I meant, it's like, because I was wondering about how the movements are conditioned. And I just realized that I had difficulty to understand that issue because I was stuck in the concept of hands and legs or things. But in reality, if we understand that it's only just rupas conditioned by different things, then it is different. Yeah, that's just my...
So it's not your hand anymore.
At the moment of understanding,
it's only different kinds of rupa.
Right.
And also, when we are speaking and we're doing these little movements with the hand, I think they're all part of the expression, aren't they? So they're all part of the meaning that we're trying to convey, giving emphasis on that sort of thing. Even though we're speaking, we're also conveying meaning by the gestures, unconsciously. Right,
Okay, no private conversations.
No. Okay, now, Anne said, like moving your mouth when you write. Because when she writes... I said,
that's not Gaya Vinyati.
No, that's going the other way. That's like absorbing the meaning. It's coming in through the mouth.
No, I don't know that either.
So sometimes it's kaya vinyati, but that's not what the other to say. No intention to be seen.
This is what will happen if you have private jokes.
Private? Excuse me.
I'm thinking about her excellent question.
I think about John saying. I don't know. Before I go here, and some of my friends we have a small discussion about Ajahn saying, and some of my friends say that it seems Ajahn against meditation. Could you please comment a bit?
Yeah, because I'd like to know whether I against it or not. What is meditation if I know? So that I will go against or not going against.
I don't know what they think about the meditation. They also think that the meditation is not exactly a technical method. It's maybe also there's understanding and also there's considering. And
that's what you think?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what meditation is for those who go to meditation center?
I think it's a name. It is just a name. They also call this kind of activity is of meditation.
Not understanding?
I don't know, but maybe when they can hear the right teachings and they consider, and maybe sometimes there's understanding there.
understanding of what? Not reality right now. At all.
There's always realities.
What appears now? Can Panya know or understand it? Otherwise, what can Panya understand if it's not reality right now?
Purpose of the meditation?
It's not me, it's not just a talk again about what we have discussed.
So I think that before we can talk about anything, we should know what is it, so that we can talk more about it.
Yes, because you mentioned hearing, considering and understanding. So if it was hearing, considering and understanding, we wouldn't have to call it meditation. If we use the term meditation, we are implying something more than just hearing, considering and understanding, aren't we?
Example, they say that if they go, they have to work or they do some business from working, so it's very difficult to think about the realities. And if they give up this working and they go to the quiet place, and there's more better condition for thinking.
What about moment when they do nothing, just sit? Can they understand reality?
Yeah, of course, sitting is not.
I mean that ordinary life when that person doesn't do anything, no business concerning, just sit or walk or talk, can that person understand reality?
Yes, I know that the conditions for the panya or for the sati to arise is not the sitting or any method, but also some conditions, some place or some the condition can, example, like we sitting here and hearing your explanations, and think and consider, and maybe some intellectual understanding arise. For them is sometimes is the same. They go to the meditation center and they read or listen the teacher sayings, and they also there's consideration there.
Do you know what they do at meditation center?
I don't know exactly for the some different case.
If it's like this, we don't have to say meditation center. It can be anywhere, in this room or in that room, or wherever.
Maybe like we sitting here or we sitting in the quiet room. There's also thinking and considering. Everywhere.
So the most important thing is what Panya knows. What Panya knows or what Panya understands.
Yes, the object of Panya only is the realities.
Right now?
Yeah.
Seeing anywhere?
Yes.
So what's the difference between seeing here and seeing in the forest?
The same.
The same. So yes. Do we need to go to the forest?
I think there's many conditions for this person look like this and the other look like that.
By conditions, yes, not by will to go to somewhere to have it.
Because as like me, I have also loba to go there, to go here. I think for them it's the same. They also have loba to go to the forest or to go to the quiet place. But it not mean that if they go there, there's no condition.
Is there no self at that moment who would like to do so? Is there no self?
Yes.
At that moment?
No.
There is?
Yes.
So there must be the understanding of what moment is the idea of self. Now, yeah. At moment of understanding or going somewhere with the self.
Right.
And didn't Buddha say that all realities should be understood? Not missing anyone now by conditions.
I think you're implying that
they think that if they are in a quiet place without work and without ordinary distractions, then there is more time to think wisely. So they think that the thinking wisely needs that special quiet place. Is that correct? So they actually doubt whether there can be any understanding while at work or doing their normal household life, looking after their family, cooking meals, going to the office. They think that it's easier to have understanding when no work, no distractions. Is that correct?
Sorry, that because just our discussion and the, what they try to explain their thinking for me. Mm-hmm.
They can create the conditions for understanding. They can do something to create the conditions for understanding.
For me, when I went to the meditation center a few years ago, and at that time I believed that, for example, someone else good in Kung Fu, he need to practice many times. And for the mind, it need to be trained as well. For example, it trained to be calm, it trained to be strong, and when it's calm and the other condition, the understand can be arised. That my understood a few years ago about that. And that's the reason why I went to the meditation center and believe that is the good condition. It's quiet and the mind is calm, and the mind can experience something special, and there may be understanding coming along with that experience.
And how can be the moment of letting go attachment to seeing and the idea of self?
Because when most people think of training the mind or the cultivation of the mind, which is the development of the mind, which is what bhavana is, they wouldn't think of understanding visible object. They wouldn't think of understanding sound as being part of the development of the mind, but it is. So I think there's a lot of deep-seated ideas about what development of the mind involves and understanding. So that's why they're inclined to go a particular, to undertake a kind of practice. And so if there's undertaking of a practice, whether it's by way of choosing an object or choosing a position or doing anything deliberately, then as we can appreciate there must be an idea of self, and it's not the same as experiencing a reality that arises at the present moment.
And do they realize that there is attachment and that doesn't help at all? And how is your feeling now about meditation?
Now it's understanding what happened is important, because the condition for understand to arise is not what I thought before. It's different. It's hearing, considering the teaching.
What about training Panya to understand seeing like now as it is?
Because firstly, there should be Panya there. So the Panya arises.
Panya which knows that anything which appears should be object of understanding, because life exists only just in a moment. If that moment is not known, then it's ignorance, on and on and on. So in daily life, there are seeing, hearing, smelling, and everything which appear without understanding. And when it's not understanding, what is it at moment of experiencing it? Ignorance is there, not knowing. It's not the word, but it's the reality which cannot understand reality as it is. Different, quite different from Panya, which begins to know that it's only a moment of seeing, a moment of visible object appearing as there is a reality that can be seen. That's all in one's life, no one in it. At moment of hearing, it's time to understand that there is a reality that can be heard, and the moment of experiencing or hearing it is just the element which arises by conditions. Otherwise, it's not according to the Buddha words in the teachings at all, or should be known what are all seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, everything in life. Otherwise, how can there be understanding of whatever appears?
I remember something that Ajahn said that very much impressed me, that you said that develop understanding for the sake of understanding, because of understanding and not because of anything else. So I think when we have the idea that if I am in such environment, it will be better for my understanding to be developed, then it's led by loba. For sure, mm-hmm. But when, because there's understanding, then understanding knows that whatever appears now should be understood. It's the only moment to be understood. So I think it's a very, very different thing. Because we can come here, or you can come to, you want to come here to listen to you, because we would like to understand more. Or we like to be with friends, and you know, many, many different reasons, but we think that it is the way to develop more understanding, then again we can be led by loba as well. So it's not what one does, whether one goes to meditation center or here, but it's the idea behind. And I think that like you said, if there is understanding, it always understands that only this very moment now it should be understood and nothing else.
And it can be questioned now whether there is seeing, should it be known or not, that's all.
And we discussed the other day about even, like you said, oh, we come here, and of course there is lots of loba also, and we discussed the other day that even during a Dhamma discussion there can be wrong view and wrong practice, trying to understand or trying to be aware. But when there is an idea of focusing on an object or doing something special, it's a very strong wrong practice without the reminders that it is wrong practice, because one really thinks that it is understanding when actually it's just wrong practice at those times. So it doesn't mean there's no attachment or no wrong practice now, but by hearing more about realities, beginning to understand more about seeing or visible object as anatta, more about moments of wrong view as anatta, the understanding can develop to know it, to begin to understand wrong view as it is. But when one just follows a particular practice or tries to focus on a particular object in a particular place, no idea about the wrong practice at such time.
Sochan, it is led by Lopa or is it led by...
Certainly, both. And what's the answer to the question that it's seeing like now? Should it be known, understood, or not? What's the answer? Yes. So there must be the way or means to know it, see? Which is so very subtle, difficult. But it's the way to develop, to understand it, which sees now. One has to be so very truthful, honest, to know about understanding and ignorance. If one still want to have ignorance, no need to understand seeing and hearing, so very ordinary. But what is life? What is samsara? Each moment of the realities arising and falling away, experience different things one at a time. That should be known. This is the word of the Buddha himself. Whatever appears, if it's not understanding, it is ignorance and it is attachment. And it's wrong understanding with taking it for me or something. See? Otherwise, there's no need for his development of parami to become enlightened. And what does it mean? To understanding whatever appears. By hearing, considering the right path, which will lead to understanding that which is now appearing, not that which does not appear now. And those people who went to see him, listen to the teachings, he didn't say go somewhere and do something at all, and to understand what? That which is now appearing, even the word suffering, dukkha, this is dukkha. But what is this? Seeing is this now, dukkha. What is this which is dukkha? Hearing now which is dukkha. So with the understanding of the teachings, one knows that he taught us about whatever appears. Without the hearing of the teachings, there is always ignorance. Never know. That should be known. That should be studied. That should be develop to see the true nature of the arising and falling away, which is not self. Otherwise, there will never be the moment of beginning to letting go from taking it from me or self at all.
Ajahn, it occurs to me just while we've been discussing meditation, that meditation is an example of waiting. You said before about don't wait to understand, but in meditation there is the trying the practices mm-hmm. are about waiting
for the result,
for understanding to happen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we have to wait for seeing to arise?
No.
Because reality is so rapid that it doesn't need anyone to trigger it at all. Because it's conditioned when time comes right now. No one can make it, no time to make it so quick. When there's condition for its arising, it sees instantly, it hears instantly. So sati is so sudden by conditions. It arises and it is aware before one is trying to have this or that as object. So late, too late. Because what is there? Ignorance. Quicker. By conditions.
And one can also say it's waiting, because it's always putting off, like if one's busy at work and one thinks waiting until one's in the quiet place, it's putting off understanding at this moment. Because the seeing now, the hearing now, no matter we're here or at work or at home or happy or unhappy, always seeing, always realities. So if one's waiting for another time, it's putting off understanding that appears at this moment.
About going to a meditation. Yes.
And when one has the idea that because one is too busy,
working and everything, then already it shows no understanding of what is what is awareness and understanding.
I think the point raised by Mai that we find often on the list is that people say, well, what's the difference between coming here to this discussion and going to a retreat? And I think there is a difference, because I think if one goes to attend a discussion, a Dhamma discussion, it's not with the idea of having awareness, of doing a practice. It's just because one is interested and appreciates the value of hearing more and learning more about what the teaching itself is. So if one has the idea of going somewhere because there's going to be an opportunity to have awareness at that time, then that's a different kind of underlying motive, I think. No?
A different loba?
A different loba? It is? Well, it's both. They both can be loba. It's a question of the underlying view that's at work.
I think that, for example, for like all of us coming here, it's a lot of cost and a lot of sacrifice. There may be some loba, but there has to be a real appreciation of the value of understanding and the importance of hearing more about dharmas and more about understanding as anatta. Otherwise, if it was just loba, many cheaper ways to have a to find good company.
And yet, I appreciate you raising the about loba, because often the questions are maybe subtle ways of wanting to understand, trying to understand. So,
excuse me, when it's for the sake of me, for my understanding, but well, for the sake of understanding itself, is not attachment.
Yes, that is the best. Mm-hmm. That is the best way. But if it is not that, if it is just wanting to understand, then
just wanting,
clearly,
yeah,
clearly it's mm-hmm. it's loba as well. So you're quite right.
Why wanting me? Because of me.
Well, this is why we said that. Here in a discussion, there can be many moments of wrong view, many moments of wrong practice, trying to get it, trying to understand.
That's why, Nina, I love when you said, we don't get it.
So the wrong speech, wrong understanding go against the right understanding.
I was just aware that you've come today, so I just wondered if there was anything you wanted to add or ask.
No, I'd like to listen. Mm-hmm.
We like to hear you listen. We like to hear your words too.
Ajahn would like to hear you.
Oh.
Everybody want to hear your voice, I guess. Tell them that you're well.
I am quite well, and I'm also very happy to be here today. I would like to be able to attend the talks throughout this coming month, but I won't be able to, so today's a good day for me.
And tomorrow.
And I'm very, very pleased to see all of you.
And anything special you'd like to hear about?
Everything I'm hearing is special, and I think it's invaluable to be able to come and to be able to listen.
All anatta.
Mm-hmm. And back to the discussions you were having. So the person they mentioned about different accumulations. So I think that all we can say, there are the people who have the accumulation to live a life of householder, and then other people they have the accumulation to be in a quiet place or not with other people, like a monk, for example. But that is different between the idea of going to a special place to have something. Yeah, so so the word accumulation, I think, is not appropriate to describe the choice of going to a meditation center or to go here. It's not really the word, because it's motivated by certain kind of views and ideas.
And when there's the understanding of the anatta-ness, why wait? Why not now? Anytime. Otherwise, it's not the understanding of anatta if you select time and place.
It can be an excuse. One can say, oh, well, it's because I have accumulations to go on retreats or to quiet places, so it can be an excuse to put off.
So don't come back.
Understanding now.
What about the accumulation of now?
Always now.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hear that at a meditation retreat.
About understanding, seeing visible object, I'm sure. Right? What is the object of understanding at the in the meditation center?
Yeah, difficult to say, because another distinguishing factor, characteristic of a retreat or meditation practice, is a step by step, do this and then that and then such and such.
So, no way to understand seeing at all.
Well, John, they would say. That we can characterize, they would say, only here you can understand now, when in fact, only now you can understand now. They will say, only here in the retreat can you understand now. Not there, not back home.
Too many distractions.
So no anatta there?
There is, but only here you will know, but not at home, not anywhere else.
So there is atta.
I think they may talk a lot about now and awareness now, but it's still my practice, and there's still the idea of being able to control realities or focus on particular objects. So it's still me who is aware now.
It's never about now.
And I think that they don't understand now. What does it mean? Now is now. Every moment is now.
And before I started to read a little bit about Abhidhamma, and then mostly when I met you, I did many years I went to meditation centers, and I think at that time I didn't have idea about what is real awareness. What I was told about awareness was that being aware of what is going on. So I think at the very basic many very fundamental understanding of realities, and like what is understanding and what is sati, were not taught, at least in the places where I was. So there was a confusion about what exactly sati is. And so if there's no understanding of what is sati and what is the object of sati, then everything went wrong.
And they believe that they have sati? But it's not sati.
Because there's no understanding of reality, so they think it's sati of body or sati of breath, or but it's actually just thinking about an idea.
Or like here, it's very often pointed out that what we thought to be awareness of like say lopa or dosa are just stories about that, but in many places people take those stories about dosa or lopa or any kind of realities to be the awareness of realities directly. So
and rise and fall too.
Yeah,
it's just a story. Just thinking about rise and fall.
Yes.
And I think another point is for the people who go to the meditation center is. It's like the main purpose is for getting more awareness, not about understanding. So I think they also believe that the awareness arise, and this is condition for understanding to arise.
Yeah, and since here I learned that. Only wrong view is the hindrance to satipatthana or to vipassana. But before, I was told that all five hindrances were five hindrances for vipassana. Same. Yeah, it was what I told. So that's why people think that when they live at home, there are a lot of moments of lobha, dosa, and a lot of thinking, so they cannot have conditions for awareness and understanding to arise. I think that's also...
And what about satipatthana? See? Sarakacittang lopa mulacitta is there to be known. Not to avoid.
The first Chitta mentioned this object of
satipatthana,
the one with
the
lopa.
Because lopa is here and now, see? At moment of seeing, when there's no understanding, there is akusala citta followed immediately. Only 3 moments after seeing, then lopa, dosa, or akusala can arise. Who's the big boss?
They're afraid of lobha and trying to escape it, but they don't realize that actually that is motivated by lobha as well.
Sometimes we meet a friend in Vietnam, and we discuss about like the teachings and the meditations, and one point that I see that it seems very difficult to understand the right teaching because it's too subtle, and the people see that, well, just sometimes you feel angry and you just focus on breathing, for example, and quickly you feel calm, and it seems really useful, and it seems it's for them is the right practice, right way. Sometimes talking about right understanding it seems to be not easy to get it.
Because I think for a lot of people the idea of developing the path is having less agusala. So less attachment to things, less aversion. So that's their idea of the path. So there is not the appreciation that it's understanding of dhammas. That is the development of the path.
And they don't know the nature of dhammas.
And at the moment of dosa appearing, arising, there is no understanding. That should be object of understanding. See? No idea, no right understanding at all. because of the boss.
And when they think you have less dosa, they don't realize that at that moment there's no dosa. That means dosa is fallen away.
So how can there be less clinging to the idea of self by that way, not wanting to have dosa to arise? Wanting is lobha.
I think there's a feeling that they can control the arising of dosa. You can't, but I think that that's the illusion.
So Mai, when your friends say that coming here or going to the retreat is the same, how do you answer?
Sarah, well, what do you think? Can you answer me a question? Do you think everybody go to the meditation center? They never have a panya there.
You're asking me, answer. There can be panya anywhere, anytime,
right.
Even at the meditation center,
yes.
Anywhere.
Yes. Right, exactly. I think so. Because it is by condition, and we can know what condition will happen for panya to arise, for whom?
Those conditions have to be known, though, understood, don't they?
Yes.
So are you saying that because in theory panya can arise anywhere, therefore going to the meditation center or coming here is the same, no difference?
It depends on what you think about the meditation and what about the method. If you think meditation is the understanding from pariyatti to patipatti, is the same what you think like now. Mm-hmm. I think just if we discuss about the name, we discuss about the concept, which depends on different people, I think it's not useful. I think so.
But I think that at the meditation center, people do something different from daily life. Or all day, I don't know. Is that real? Is that true?
Yes, of course, in the meditation center, the same like now.
Why do you call it meditation center?
Yes.
There's a practice, is the difference.
Yes, of course, practice. There's wrong view and there's the wrong practice, and also seeing, hearing, touching.
No, there's the idea of practicing.
Yes, practicing you think that you do like.
We don't have any. We haven't talked about practicing at all, or our practice, or anything like that. So that's the big difference.
I mean, the same here is there's the realities everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean that.
For example, if you said, let's go to the beach. What is the difference between going to the meditation center and going to the beach, for example? Is there, because, okay, they're seeing this visible object, there can be understanding in any place, but when one is just going to the beach, usually it's not with an idea of some special practice. But if you talk about the meditation center, isn't there something else besides just seeing and hearing and like and dislike, isn't there the idea of doing something special?
If you ask me what is the difference between the the thinking you can do by yourself anything, and the thinking everything is by condition. I can say the different. But if you ask me what is the difference between the go to the beach or go to the meditation center or go to the foundation, what is different? I can answer, because it depends on what you think at that time. It's not depend on the place or the name of the place. So the main thing I want to dis, to try to understand the, what is the condition for Panya and Sati to arise. It's not depend on the name of the place. Just so. So I can answer that what is the difference between the beach or the meditation center or foundation.
So for Panya to arise, the condition is hearing more about different realities, like seeing or visible objects as just dharmas, anatta, not belonging to anyone. So it doesn't matter at all what the place is. It doesn't matter whether one is at the beach or at the, or here or at the retreat center. There are just realities. So no need to think of a special place or a retreat or a special practice. No need to call it retreat center, because the reality is anywhere, anytime.
At the moment when you think you have to go to the meditation center to have Panya or to have Sati, at this moment, the wrong view then. Yes, of course. But also if they go to the meditation center, and also if they are heard the right teaching, we can't sure what will happen then.
But usually people who go to meditation center, they practice. Oh, what do they do? They go to practice, or what do they do?
I'm sorry, because I have not experienced in meditation centers.
Nothing concerned developing understanding of seeing and reality, each one at a time at all. Just doing with intention to wait to have understanding arise, but it's impossible. Sitting and then what?
Sorry?
Practicing is sitting, right?
Sitting, close and your eyes and focus on breathing.
Is that what Buddha taught?
That the people understand what the Buddha's teaching.
So it's the individual's understanding.
Yes.
Not the teachings of the Buddha.
You seem to imply that we should not tell other people that they should not go to meditation center, or if someone is going to a meditation center, it's wrong. But I think the wrong views and lobha are very, very deep rooted and very subtle. So if we have to always very must be honest to ourselves, and it's always helpful to have very deep discussions with friends, and to help them to see whether there's the wrong view or misunderstanding or not. But I think it can be a very difficult experience for many of us, because we have a lot of friends who are meditators, and because of our new understanding, we have lost a lot of friends, and that's a reality. A lot of people with whom we had very good relationship, and now sometimes it becomes very hard. So sometimes we can have this point of view that, okay, we should not interfere too much. But I think if there is real understanding, then you can always help to point out.
Mm-hmm.
the wrong views, if there's any.
To be a good friend, speak and help them to understand the truth, the best gift in this life. We shouldn't mind whether one should be the beloved one or not, the hated one or not, but only the truth, the best gift. So I think that in order to be good friend, we try to help the others to understand the right word and the right way. Because people say, I have Buddha as my refuge, right? Dhamma as my refuge, really? Sangha as my refuge, who? See, one is not so honest and truthful to what one says. Listen to the teachings to understand the virtues of Buddha. Of the Buddha. Otherwise, there is no way to understand his wisdom at all about whatever appears now, so that people can have right understanding of the impermanence of any reality which arises and falls away now. See, always now. So I think that in order to be honest, one listen to whom? To Dhamma from the Buddha himself, to become, have the right teachings as one refuse, not the others. So one listen to whom at the meditation center? To one that one believe that that person understand a lot, but one can listen and see whether that word is right or wrong, true or not. Like seeing now, didn't Buddha teach about it at all? Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching should be known to be understood to see the nature of all realities as not self. Otherwise, it's not the teachings of the Buddha. And one does not really see or understand the Buddha's virtues at all. If one thinks that it's easy, just go to somewhere and do something, not understanding whatever appears now. It has to be right now because it's gone completely, each moment, never come back.
And it does go against the stream, so the aim is not to be popular or to have lots of friends, but as Ajahn said, to be the good friend.
Sometimes I see it quite sensitive. Maybe at the very beginning it's like to share the new understand, to point out the truth. But maybe later it's like protect my idea. Mm-hmm. It's not about share the understanding. Mm-hmm.
Your idea or the Buddha's idea?
It occurs to me that maybe it's a situation that's not entirely different from other situations in life where people part company because of different views. And sometimes, through skillful means, it's possible to maintain contact or still be helpful to those people without trying to persuade them. I think sometimes there's, as you just said, Ty, there's like an attachment to this new understanding or a different way to the past. And that you want to protect it, etc., etc. But in actual fact, I suppose through like right effort, it may be possible to find ways to different ways, not just through discussion, to maintain those friendships. You know, through action, through kindness.
I mean, it depends on conditions. Yeah. It depends on conditions. But it's not dissimilar to things that happen in life over and over, where different views separate.